is now. The moment is now. This is your holy moment. This is your moment of breakthrough. This is the moment that you've been waiting for. The moment is now. The hour is here. The hour is here. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your hour. That this is the moment. This is your holy moment. This is the moment that you've been crying out for and looking for. This is your hour and this is your moment. That this is your moment that He is releasing from heaven our inheritance, because you are a son, because you are a daughter, not because of what you've done, but because of who you are, that He is freely giving now. He is dishing now His glory and His presence in this place, in this right now, right now. And as we continued to sing, I saw hundreds and hundreds of vessels of clay. And as our worship went up, each vessel began to break and to crack open, and oil began to flow out from it. The vessels began to release oil, and this place became full of His presence. It became full of His anointing and His presence. And I tell you, church, that right now, right now, right now, right now, this is the moment. This is your moment of freedom. This is your moment of freedom. This is your moment of healing. This is your moment of deliverance. This is your moment, church. This is your moment, church. Lean into it. Grab a hold of it. Declare yes, whatever you need to do. Don't let this pass you by. But this is your moment, Lord. This is your moment, church. So we thank you, Father. We just release that, Lord. Just release it, Lord. Just release it, Father. Pour it on, Lord. We pour it on, Lord. Because of who you are, Lord, we receive it. Because you are our daddy. Because you are our good father. We receive it because we are a daughter. Because we are a son. We receive your inheritance this morning, Lord. So we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. The moment, this is your moment. This is your hour. This is your minute. This is your second in His presence. This is your hour of transformation. So we thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Father. Ride the waves of His Spirit. And if there's anyone that wants to needs prayer, because you are that person that's been waiting for that moment, you've been contending, you've been standing, you've been believing, or maybe you haven't, the Lord wants to bring that moment from heaven into your reality this right now. So if that is you, I'm just inviting you to come up to receive some agreement, some prayer, and we're going to see the Lord move in miraculous ways today. We're going to see the Lord. We're going to see the Lord reveal Himself and manifest. Oh, His heart is in a tangible way. Oh, we're going to see that. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that the expectation level in this place, Father God, rises, Lord, rises and rises, Father. That hope is renewed, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the faith in this place, Father, to see you move, Father God, to see you explode, Lord. To see your glory, Father God, breakthrough, Lord. So I just thank you and I just encourage you. The moment again, the moment is now. The hour is here. The moment is now and the hour is here. So I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you're still getting prayer or receiving from the Lord, I encourage you just to keep doing that. Keep taking from the Lord. He's pouring out His Spirit. He's opened the heavens. He's releasing signs and wonders. He's bringing healing. He's touching hearts. He's releasing destinies right now. Father, I thank you for your sweet presence that fills the air. I thank you, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your children. So just keep receiving. Keep receiving. Real quick, before we dismiss the kids into kingdom class, is there anybody who's feeling a difference from when they first came in physically? You were feeling sick, maybe a scratchy throat, a headache. Raise your hand if you're feeling any different. Anything's physically changed. Amanda? Anybody else? Rebecca a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Bethany. Is there anybody who struggles with really bad migraines, headaches? Maybe specifically like right behind your left ear? Feel like there's a pressure point right there? Is there anybody that has that? Raise your hand. Okay, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just release healing over that right now, Father. Whether they have it, that sensation right now, or they've had it in the past, we just break that off in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you're touching bodies right now, that you're bringing healing to that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just release waves of your healing touch in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, as we just continue to praise, continue to give you glory and welcome your atmosphere, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you continue to bring healing, healing, healing right now. Is there anybody feeling like a warm sensation either down their back or down their neck? Or any difference in your head, behind your ear? Raise your hand if you feel anything different. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that people just continue to receive. Continue to receive. Continue to receive. Today is a day to receive His presence, to receive His love, to receive the outpouring. That the Father's desire is to release blessings into your life, to demonstrate His power and His presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're touching bodies, you're touching hearts, that you're demonstrating your love. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. One more thing before we dismiss the kids, and then we'll dismiss the kids to Kingdom Class. I know my kids have been kind of up and down as far as being sick. Thank you. It's not even mine. So if there's anybody who's got any children who have signs of sickness, you know, they came up and prayed for us, so why don't we bring them up this week and we'll pray for them. We'll leave that there. Come on. No. There's more. I know there's more. Thank you, Lord. And then anyone who feels led or wants to, why don't we just gather around them? Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to share a testimony of what happened to Judah. On Friday morning at 1:30 in the morning, he woke up screaming with a fever and that his throat was hurting. And we gave him some Motrin and put him back to sleep. And he woke up. I don't know. I won't give all the details. But basically, by 1:30 in the afternoon, he was completely well. And this was with prayer. Obviously, we put out the word and prayer. But 12 hours of fever, that was it. And he was completely healed. So we just thank you, Lord, for that. And just release that over these children. That doesn't have to run its course. That, Lord God, you're bigger than any of this. And that it doesn't have to run its course. In Jesus' name, because that's what the doctors say. But Lord, we believe in your power. We believe in your might. We believe that prayer works, Lord God, and that we shake the heavens, Lord, when we agree with what you say in heaven, Lord. We pull down, Lord, the things from heaven unto our kids in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you did in Judah and for what you're doing in every child here this morning, Lord God. Every fever, every cold, every virus in Jesus' name, it will not run its course. It's done, it's finished, and it's completed now in the name of Jesus. Every lying symptom and every cyclical thing in every child in this room, I break it off in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Because of your power and your blood shed, Lord, you are powerful, you are mighty, you are amazing, and we trust in you, God, as our heavenly physician, Lord, the physician above all physicians, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, I thank you, Lord, that in this season, Lord, as everything is increasing, Father God, in the spiritual realm, Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your big hand, Father God, that just covers our children, Lord Jesus. And that anything, Father God, coming against them, Lord, any attachment, anything, Father God, in this season that would try to bring torment or torment or fear, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, that we just break that off of them, Father. We command that to stop, and we say no, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, and we just release, Father God, destiny and purpose, joy and peace, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord, that everything lines up, Father God, that's been out of whack. Everything that's been out of whack, Father God, with our little ones, Lord God, with our big ones, Lord Jesus, in your spirit, Father God, that there is that alignment, Lord. Every natural symptom falls off and every spiritual thing lines up, Father God. So we just thank you, Lord, for cleaning house, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that any unclean thing, Father, that it has come against them, Lord, that has tried to bring, Father God, destruction, Father, we just say no. We say no, Father God. And we just declare these, Lord, as your children, Father, we bring to your remembrance, Father, that they are dedicated for you alone, Lord, for your purposes, Father. So we thank you, Lord, for the callings and the anointings, Lord Jesus. And we just declare, Father God, that Kingdom Kids classes, it will be a good time, Father God, a great time in you, Lord Jesus. So we just thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father. Bless the teachers, Father God, with your peace and your joy, your wisdom, your creativity, that the anointing, Father God, that is on them to impart to children, Lord, would rise and spill forth, Father. So we just thank you, Holy One. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Lord. And now I have one quick announcement before we do release the children. Real quick, since everyone is in here, this month is Pastor Appreciation Month, the month of October. So we want to bless our pastors next Sunday. So if you want to bring them a card, a prophetic word, bake them a pie, however you want to bless them and thank them for laying down their lives for us, for the Lord, for the amazing example that they are. So we'll present that to them at some point next Sunday. If you want to give a monetary gift just to bless them above and beyond, you can drop those in the offering box and just mark them Pastor or Love Pastor Appreciation. That way it doesn't get all mixed up or turned around.
If you want to give a monetary gift and you want it to run through the ministry, you want a tax deduction, you can do that. If you just want to write them a check personally, sometimes, you know, feels more. If you do that, just go ahead and give that to them directly in the card. That'd probably be the best.
Okay, so just keep that in mind. Pass the word around to your friends that aren't here today. So we'll do that sometime next Sunday. So Pastor Appreciation. All right, you are released, children and teachers and such.
For those who may have come in a little bit late, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat are still in Pennsylvania. We were in Lancaster, Pennsylvania for Voice of the Apostles Conference. And they told me yesterday that they decided to stay. So we're excited to bless them with that extra day of rest. So Cynthia's announcement about Pastor Appreciation Day, that was for Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat. I don't want to get any cards as a joke. Is Troy in here? He'll listen to it. I don't want... Awesome. Well, Father, we thank you for your presence today. Lord, we thank you for the plans. Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you desire to do. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've imparted to this body over the last couple of weeks. I thank you, Lord, for what you've imparted to a few of us at Voice of the Apostles and your desire to bring that wave of glory into this place, Father, so that we can continue as a body of Christ, as your bride, to continue to take steps becoming more and more spotless. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your desire is for us to walk in joy and peace, and you're releasing that today, even in the children. Lord, I thank you that that is here. Father, that you are coming more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Thank you, Lord. Well, awesome. You know what? Let's just do this. We'll go right here. There you go. We'll do a little spinning thing. Awesome. Well, Voice of the Apostles, I had a wonderful opportunity to go with my beautiful bride, Cynthia, and the Maxfields, and Pastor Mary Pat, and Pastor Bill were up there, and a couple others. And, you know, we were just kind of hanging out with my friends, Larry Randolph, Heidi Baker, Cheyenne, John Arnott, Jesus Culture, you know. They called me, so we all got together, hung out. If there's anybody listening, I don't actually know any of those people personally. Heidi, I know. Heidi, I know. Jesus, I know, which is even better. But there were about 5,000 people in Pennsylvania. I think the final number they said between 4,500 and 5,000 people at this convention. And I think they got to about 5,000 by the time they counted people who kind of came in and left, and other people that came in a little bit late. 5,000 people just coming together and getting imparted to and worshiping. And I'm pretty sure by far it's the largest event that they've hosted to date. So there were several things that different speakers came in and shared about and shared their heart and shared about what the Lord's been doing in them, which was incredible just to kind of hear the journey that they're on, but also kind of what the Lord's doing in the church right now and what he's building up. So I'm driving or riding back from Lancaster and praying, okay, Lord, well, apparently they decided not to come back, so you're going to do something. And I think it dawned on me this morning, one of the reasons that they did not come back was you spend 4 days hearing from all of those people, and it's just like you've got 50,000 things swirling around in your head and your heart. And so I sat down this morning because it was too late last night. I was like, Lord, you're going to have to speak tomorrow morning because I'm too tired to listen. And so I sat down this morning, I started soaking, and I'm laying there, and then all of a sudden, like, every word from every message just kind of went like that in my head and in my heart, and I was like, that's way too much. We don't have that much time. You're going to have to do something else. So, Bill Johnson and all of them gave a great message, but I'm happy to report that I am none of those people. And so I am not going to actually use any of their messages. We're going to go with something different. So I'm going to have you guys open up to the book of Genesis. If you can't find it, it's the first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 2. And I love going to Genesis. I always seem to, I don't know why, but I always seem to go back to Genesis for some reason. Just because I love seeing God's original plan and how it was intended and what his desire was. And knowing that the initial original plan of God is actually what we're capable of walking in today because of the restoration power of the cross. So I'm going back to Genesis 2. Okay, I'm going to share first a couple of the experiences that I had. I was sharing a little bit last night with Carl, Darlene, and Cynthia. Those kind of events are like, I likened it to like the Super Bowl of Charismania. Like, you got all these people just hungry for something, and just kind of like, everybody just kind of packs in all at once. So we had this brilliant idea. We were going to get there early before the doors open, and go grab a seat, because when the door is open for seating, everybody just, it's like this, the floodgates are open and the sea of people just come charging in to find a seat. And they gave us these booklets that you put your name on, you can save your seat. So everybody kind of like jumps in right at, as the doors open at 8:30, and nothing starts until 9:30. So we had this idea to get there early at, I think we pulled in like 8:15. And those of you who have been to VODA know what that means. We pulled up, and there was a line wrapped around the building, like for seats. So we sent Carl and I, being the gentlemen that we were, we sent Darlene and Cynthia in while we parked the car. So they go, they get in there, they charge, they make, their, they get. You know, there's only two of them. They've got four booklets. You would think two people could get in there quick. And they got the last row of before, because in this convention center, they had to open the whole other section. So you had, you know, where the room initially ended, and then you have beyond that, which is kind of the, the uncomfortable chairs. So they managed to get the last row of comfortable chairs. And then, so we had an hour to kill. So, we find this nice coffee place, and of course, you know, there's like 1,000 people in there. Everywhere you go, there's tons of people. And I can't remember, I think this was the second day, but Carl and I were standing in the line, and this guy in front of me started sharing about, this had to have been the second day, because he was sharing about the, Bill Johnson's message, about what he thought about it. And, you know, I didn't say anything, because, you know, I was technically eavesdropping, I guess. And he starts talking about Bill Johnson's message, and he just starts kind of like ripping it to shreds, how much he hated it and everything. And it felt really uncomfortable sitting there because, I mean, he was being relatively loud about it. And everybody in the coffee shop like was there for the conference. And, you know, my first response was basically, this guy's crazy. I don't know what's wrong with him. Bill Johnson's like the man. I mean, him and I are like this spiritually. So you know, the guy's kind of sharing his heart, and my first response, like it was just kind of like anger, like a combination of anger and sadness, because what he was saying was actually he interpreted the message completely wrong. What Bill Johnson had shared about was about being. Able to approach God from two positions, one as a warrior, as a person who's called to fast and intercede, but also that the Father's desire is to release things to us as children, that there's times where we can only receive certain things from Him as we approach Him as a child from a place of rest. And unfortunately, this guy misinterpreted the message to say, he thought Bill Johnson was saying, you have to be one or the other. And truthfully, my initial response was basically, this guy's crazy, I don't know what's wrong with him. I would have said something, but he was like 6'3 and built like Carl. So I didn't. But it stuck with me the rest of the day. I was praying through it and just kind of really asking the Lord, you know, it just grieved my heart. It got to the point where it moved from kind of this like bitterness, like what's wrong with this guy? How dare you judge the man that's speaking to 5,000 people? To a place where the Lord began to open things in my own heart, and I began to see where, not necessarily in that way, but He began to expose times where I had judged other people as well. And then He showed me where this guy was kind of coming from, in the sense of actually, if his understanding was that Bill Johnson was saying, you have to either be a warrior or a child, you can't be both, then his analysis is actually correct in saying that Bill Johnson was wrong. You know, unfortunately, it was more a matter of misinterpretation. So the rest of the day, I'm going through this process with the Lord. You know, I'm hearing Randy Clark. I'm hearing different people share these like great messages, and we heard Steve Swanson. And the whole time, like I'm going through this inner battle about what I experienced that morning in the cafe. And the Lord just began to like melt my heart for these times where I had stood in a similar position of judgment, where something had happened that I heard something or something didn't make sense, And instead of being able to approach it from a place of mercy and grace and love, there was this quick judgment where I thought, well, that person's crazy, they're wrong, they don't know what they're talking about. And the Lord just began to melt my heart. And this morning, it was almost like everything that had been building up had just kind of broken loose on the car ride here. And I start just, I mean, you might not believe this, but I just start like bawling. I'm crying. And my heart just begins to break for the times that I've walked in judgment, but also for the times that I've experienced other people doing a similar thing. And I just, you know, the Lord kind of took me back through this process over the last 2 weeks since the beginning of 24/7, where He's beginning to basically give me more and more of a heart of flesh and really break my heart for some things that I've walked in that I didn't even necessarily realize it. So like the last 2 weeks that I've been at times just this like crying, blubbering mess. And I think I did pretty well at hiding it at VODA. There may have been one or two times that Cynthia saw it, but for the most part, you know, I'd be like, you know, worshiping and I'd start crying. So, you know, my head would go lower. So I'm in this like space where nobody can see me. But he began to speak to me this morning, and he took me to about that process that he's got me in, and he took me to Genesis 2:7, and he's talking about the creation of man. And it says in Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And I've always enjoyed thinking about this verse and meditating on it. But the thing that the Lord spoke to me this morning on the drive over is that my DNA is made from the breath of God. And every time I step into a place of judgment, I start to destroy that DNA that's inside of me. That we're called to be a people who carry His glory, who carry the very breath of God. And that any time that I've walked in judgment, any time that I've been unable to extend grace or mercy, that I actually begin to break down that DNA inside of me. You know, that in Genesis we see the breath of God coming in and bringing life. That without that breath we're lifeless. That there's nothing inside of us without that very breath of God. And we all know that when we ask Jesus into our lives, if you've done that, which I know many of you have, if not all of you, you ask Christ to come in, that the Holy Spirit becomes that dwelling place, that it's that very breath of God, that we're people who carry God inside of us. We carry the Holy Spirit. And the word that I heard this morning as I was praying and coming in was, there's an assault on your DNA. That he began to show me with grace and so much compassion and love and mercy all the times, and I'm sure there's countless more, that I've assaulted the very DNA that I was made to carry, that I've assaulted the very thing that I was created for, that every time that I didn't extend mercy and grace, every time that I didn't demonstrate the love of God, there was an assault on my DNA because that's what I was created to do. That it doesn't matter about how other people treat me, that my response is always to be one that's covered in grace and mercy and love. And then he showed me, he's taken me to this place where you know, basically he shows me in my mind like this process of where I've done a certain response that was either in judgment or in anger or something inside of me that hasn't completely been healed that causes a trigger. You don't have to show your hands, but in your heart, has there ever been anybody who's ever been triggered by something? Like you'll be coming along, and somebody says something, and it's not even intentional, but there's... Okay, some people are really testifying. Like, okay. But there's things sometimes in our heart that aren't necessarily healed, that we haven't necessarily dealt with, and an innocent bystander can come by and not even know it. Like basically just kind of jab that one sore spot And your response instantly is something that even they're shocked by. That there's times that somebody says something and because of, you're responding from a place of woundedness, there's this harsh, quick response. And that's why we experience so much and talk about and pray through the healing heart, about restoring the Father's heart, is that all of those areas that are exposed, that the enemy would love to just come in and jab so that we have a harsh response. The Lord's desire is to make all of those areas whole. That when there's woundedness in our heart, that's not the plan of God. That's not the Lord's plan for your life. So as we continue to go through that process of healing, as we continue just to grow in that and have a greater revelation of the breath of God that's inside of us, He heals our heart so that when the next person comes by and innocently, not even necessarily, sometimes they do it on purpose. Like, you know, I've got a little brother. I was 8 at one point, and you just kind of know. You know what gets them. You know what's going to get them upset. And sometimes it's intentional. But there's healing for that. You know, the Lord's desire is for us to be able to step into a place where we can walk in healing, but also release healing into other people. So I'm back to this DNA thing that you know, the Lord is building this DNA inside of us with the breath of God, where it becomes stronger. I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about anything medical. But I have heard studies, and I can look it up and find it. I'm a religion major. I'm not a doctor, but I did get a major in religion. where Tom's not here, I can say whatever I want. he stayed at VOTA too. You know, but I've heard studies about the physical effect of what anger can do to your body. And it basically breaks down your immune system. If you're carrying anger and judgment to the point where you're just so upset, it actually physically affects your body. Because if your life comes from the breath of God, your body was not built to carry anger. Your body was not built to carry judgment. It was built to carry grace, peace, and love. I think a great example that I've seen in my own life is my father. You know, he's a man that we're still contending for, that we're expecting him to see him walking into that grace and mercy and that acceptance of Christ. But for a long time, he just had this built-up frustration and anger. Nobody really knew why. He was just kind of an angry guy at times. And he's been through, I don't know how many sicknesses and stuff that he's been through. And by the grace of God, the Lord has just carried him through many, many of those things. But to talk to him today versus 10 years ago, he used to get very tense, like just little things would seem to bother him. Now he's much more relaxed. He's much more easygoing. And this is a completely natural example. He's somebody that doesn't know the Lord yet. But even that, from a physical standpoint, you see his blood. He loves coming in and telling me his blood count numbers are normal. Everything, like, he's been through two different kinds of leukemia. His white blood cells, red blood cells, everything. Like, everything right now is in line with where it's supposed to be. And he's a much more easygoing, he doesn't get his temper up, because he tells me. He's like, you know, I remember when little things used to bother me and I would get angry. He could feel it physically. Like, basically feel it in his body that something was wrong. It's because he was never, even people who don't know the Lord yet, you're not built for that. You're built to be people who walk in that peace and that love. That the Lord's calling each one of us to be able to let that go. So I'm kind of going through this process, and I'm thinking about that guy at the in the cafe. And I actually had to walk through, like, basically repentance and forgiveness just for what I was holding against that guy. You know, like there was a point last night, evening, I don't know, but where the Lord just began to walk me through this process of showing me, like, where I've held judgment, and even with that gentleman, you know, this act of
or this thought of superiority, like, well, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Totally misinterpreted, didn't understand what he was talking about. But as the Lord, as the Lord took me through that process, he actually began to show me where it was releasing myself into a place of peace. It was releasing him from judgment. It was actually, Lord showed me this one recently, like a couple hours ago, that the process that he took me through as far as forgiving that person actually released blessing over Bill Johnson as well. That as we're able to walk from that place of grace and mercy and love, that it releases blessings over people. It actually creates an atmosphere where they're able to receive love. Okay, I want you guys to close your eyes for a minute, and I want you to think about where you came to have a greater revelation of the Father's love. And maybe some of you have not had that revelation yet. Maybe the Lord just wants to increase it. But close your eyes and think about, maybe it was when you first came to salvation. Maybe it was when the Lord's revealed his Father's heart of love and compassion to you. And think about what kind of atmosphere you were in when you experienced that. Picture, you know, whether it was a church or you know, Cheon was sharing about how it was that Smoke on the Water concert. You know, but picture how you felt in that moment and what the atmosphere was like around you. And for many of you guys, it's going to be an atmosphere. You felt the sense of peace, that there was an atmosphere of peace and mercy and love all around you, even if it wasn't necessarily the natural circumstances, but all around you, you felt that peace and mercy. You can open your eyes now. That way you stay awake. You know, as we're people, and we hear this a lot, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary and Pat share about this, about how we're people who are called to change atmospheres. That as you carry that breath of God, as you carry that grace and mercy, and you release that into the atmosphere, what you're doing is you're actually creating an atmosphere for somebody else to have a greater revelation of that love and peace. Because I know for me, like when there's times when I'm walking through the work where I work, I'll walk through the building occasionally, and it's this big round like square. It's got offices everywhere, but you can basically make from my office, I can make just one big square around the entire building. And some mornings I'll just take that walk. You know, the coffee station's over here, and you know, a couple people over here. I'll talk to them. But as I make that walk, I'll just pray for the whole building as I'm walking around it. And you can pick up on an atmosphere. You can feel tension when people are walking around. There's one lady, incredible worker, just really nice, really sweet. But there's always this like tension. She always feels overwhelmed. And I was making my round one morning, and this was, I think, last week. And we had just had a talk the day before about how she was feeling stressed out. And she made this comment that just absolutely crushed me and broke my heart. It stuck with me for like 2 days before I could go and talk to her about it. She said, "Well, I'm feeling really stressed, but you know, if you don't feel stressed, then something's wrong." And it broke my heart to think that somebody's perspective, that it could become so twisted that the perspective is, if you're not stressed out about something, then you missed it and something's wrong. That by that definition, the default is you always have to be stressed out. And I was making my round around the building, and I stopped in because I know she was kind of stressed out. It wasn't even necessarily work stuff, but you know, some of it involved her family and her kids. She doesn't mind. She's pretty open about sharing this, so she won't mind me sharing this. But she's got two kids, and one's in college. Or three kids. One just went off to college, but one that just started high school tends to be a little bit more of a handful for her. So she went. She had parent-teacher conferences. How many teachers are in here? And then how many parents have experienced parent-teacher conferences? So there's sometimes there's a little tension in the atmosphere. You're not really sure what to expect, depending on your child. I mean, and so she was feeling stressed out about this, and that's how we had that conversation about how, you know, she was about to go to student-teacher conferences, and he'd been doing her child had been doing really well that up to a certain point, and she just kind of went in with this mindset. She said, "Well, that's right around where he starts giving up and starts to get worse." And so she was feeling that stress about the parent-teacher conferences. So as I'm making my rounds, I went into her office, and I just sat down. I was so filled with joy and peace. Like, I think it was the Monday after 24/7. We just kind of finished up that, so it was this past Monday. And basically, I'm just flying high. Nothing like, I'm an untouchable vessel of joy. So I'm walking around, and I'm just kind of celebrating that, dancing in the halls a little bit and singing. People are enjoying that. Well, God was enjoying it. So her office is a little bit off to the right, and as I'm turning the corner to head back towards mine, I just kind of made this beeline over to her office. So I walked in, I sat down, I said, "How you doing?" You know, I got the usual response. I said, you know, I wanted to see how the parent-teacher conferences went. And she had this, like, face of shock and disbelief, like, wash over her right away. She goes, "You know, it was the craziest thing. I sat down with the first teacher, and they said, 'Well, I don't really have anything to say.'" And she's like, okay. And she, even at that point, she wasn't sure if that was good or bad. Like she's like, "The teacher said I don't have anything to say because everything's all right," or like, "It's so bad I'm speechless." Like, she just kind of went in with it's like, "I don't know how to respond." And then she starts telling me, and one teacher after the other, it was the exact same response. You know, I don't have any complaints about him. He's a good student. You know, maybe he's struggling with this or that. And you could just see almost this relief begin to wash over her. And she knows where I generally stand, and I've had an opportunity to pray with her a couple times, ministered to her about some other things. Everybody in my office knows I'm a Christian, so, you know, when you disappear for 8 weeks of summer because you're on a mission trip, I'm not exactly incognito there. So, you know, having an opportunity and just kind of seeing that relief wash over her and just wanting to encourage her that the Lord loves to bring peace, that his desire is to bring joy, and that his desire, one thing I was praying for several of you guys and that's been on my heart a lot this morning, is that the Father's desire is to break a repetitious cycle that the enemy has placed many of you guys in. That he's breaking off the strongholds of that mentality and that thinking process that says, "Well, this is great here, but when I get back into, you know, work or home, that cycle is going to continue." And the Lord is breaking that right now. That he's one thing that I love about my experience up in PA is one night Bill Johnson, he's sharing, and any of you guys see it on God TV? I know they aired part of it on God TV the other night. I'm not sure if this was still while he was on, or even if it was that session. But he said, "There are some of you here that have prayed for something to happen, to break through, that you've had prayer for thousands of times, and it's never broken." He said, "I want those people to raise their hands now, because we're going to see that break." And I mean, you had 5,000 people. You know, you had like several people like lifting their hands, and you know, this faith just instantly just kind of arose in the atmosphere, because he started sharing. He said over the last several weeks, he said, "I've called that out several times, and 50 to 60% of them get healed for things that they've been contending for years." And so, you know, they raised their hand, and he just broke it, and he's praying, he's releasing healing. And they do this thing, because, you know, there's 5,000 people. They're like, "Stand up and wave your hand like this for a minute if you experience it." And people all around just start standing up. And some of them, like, are standing the whole time. And then as these people are up here waving their hands, other people began to pop up, and they're waving their hands as well. And I'm looking, and I'm like, one, two, because I like to count. I'm like, one, two, three, four. And I'm counting, and I'm getting more and more excited. And then I'm thinking, well, 5,000 people. And I was like, well, that was like 40. That's that. And I was excited, and then I turn around, and there's a whole nother mess of people behind, because I forgot we had the good seats. So there's several people behind us standing, and then they just kind of kept popping up. And the whole atmosphere just began to fill with this, with, for me, I don't know if, what you guys experienced, but, you know, this joy and this peace and this excitement. And then I was sitting next to Pastor Bill at one point, and this lady just comes run, like, we're right in front of one of the parts where they had a big aisle, and this lady just screaming came running across, and just, I mean, they didn't ask anybody to come up front or anything, and she's just yelling like a mad woman, darting down, and like, so you have this big row here, and then a row that goes up towards the stage. So if that's the front stage is up there, she comes like running like crazy, and then like, she almost like, she passes it, she comes back, and she starts running up like just absolutely thrilled. And she shared later about that testimony. But I just look at Pastor Bill, because what Randy does is he says, raise your hand if you're 80% or more. And Pastor Bill and I look at each other, we're like, I think she's more than 80%. So later she comes up and she shares, because I think that was right before God TV came on. They had a little bit of time. They were pretty good about a schedule there. It was impressive. I'll get this. I'm only taking the watch off so I can keep better eye on it. So they had some time in between, and this lady, they brought her up because she kind of stuck out. So they brought her up and she started sharing, and I don't remember how long she's had it, but she's had, I mean, there were people at the conference who's like, they were getting like screws melted away, metal was dissolving in their body. Like, I had metal in my leg and I could only have this motion, and now they're doing things like, you know, jumping and bending their knees and stuff. And this lady, she starts sharing about, like, she had this nerve problem in her feet where basically she couldn't step barefoot on carpet, because it was like burning, it felt like needles of burning in her feet, and she actually had nerves disconnected so the pain wouldn't be as bad. She'd had surgeries that went wrong, and she got up there and she's sharing all this, and I mean, she's come to Frontline. She took 20 minutes to share her testimony, and she starts like, and then by the time she finally got to it, she's jumping up and down. She's like, before I even realized what happened, I just took off running. And I'm thinking, yeah, I saw that part. And she's like running and she's screaming. And I was thinking, like, well, so did it still burn when she was running or no? And she said, before I even realized what happened, I had run like through the whole auditorium, and I realized I didn't have my shoes on at all, and there was no pain. It was completely gone. And the whole place just erupted. There was just such a celebration, and an excitement that other healings began to manifest. And all of these things happened because the atmosphere was beginning to change. You know, I think it was the first night we were there. There was one point where Heidi Baker was sharing, and towards the end of it, she was doing her thing, crying out, and she was on the floor crying and sobbing, and it was really powerful. And she just told people, she said, just cry out for him. Just cry out for the Lord. Just cry out for his presence. And I start crying out, and I'm like, I'm the only one making any noise here. I was like, there are 5,000 people here, and I can hear myself, like, really loud. I felt like, and maybe I wasn't that loud. I mean, Cynthia was next to me. Maybe I was still being quiet. But it felt like, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, Frontline's louder than this. What's going on? And, like, she just kind of kept calling people to cry out, and I'm like, I start crying out, and I was like, I am the only voice. I felt like John the Baptist, so holy. And, you know, it was kind of disheartening at first, and then as the weekend progressed, Randy didn't speak until, like, the second day, but he got up there, and he was just lit up. If you guys have seen Randy Clark share before, He's funny. He's kind of mild-mannered, almost kind of like, you know, I don't know. He always seems to be the kind of like he's just kind of wading in the river of God's presence and just enjoying it and imparting stuff. He got up there like a bull, and he just started like charging at it, and he was electrifying, and he started sharing, and people, I mean, this is after a day or two. Like at that point, and he starts sharing about healing and impartation, the place just erupted. Like people caught on to it, and all of a sudden, like, because the first night I'm disheartened, I'm like, oh, 5,000 people, and you know, we're as loud as a kitty cat, you know? So I'm starting to think like the enemy starts kinda like jabbing at me and be like, see, there's no power here, nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden Randy gets up and his attitude and what he was carrying was so contagious. And I'm not saying Heidi wasn't at all. She was incredible. But there was something about what Randy was carrying, because it was so much different than what I've seen him do. And he just went after it, and he started charging like a bull, and you could just see it beginning to catch on all around. And people got excited, and all of a sudden there were these healings ripping out. And then he had this time of, during his other session, he had this time of impartation and just absolutely electrifying atmosphere. You know, his time of impartation, I'm sitting there crying out for the Lord and asking. He's like, ask for the gifts, ask for these things. And you know, I'm here receiving, and he's just speaking things out, and I'm just like this blubbering mess of like tears and snot everywhere. So, you know, I go from this position to this one because people are less likely to see my face at that point. And eventually my hands just got really tired, so I kind of had to let them down and people could... But the atmosphere totally changed when he began to share and impart on that. And as he began to release that into the atmosphere, people began to catch on, and it became contagious. And that's what I see in Genesis 2, is that God's breath inside of you, that what we see demonstrated at the cross with the Holy Spirit coming inside of you, you are now a person who carries that. You carry the exact... That's one thing that every one of them... It was like this... They all had different messages, but it was the same resounding cry, is that each one of us carries the glory of God. That it's not... you know, they were talking about this process that they're going through, and Jayon's talking about the orphan spirit, and Heidi's talking about being comfortable in who you are, who God created you to be. But every one of them, like, I don't even know if it was necessarily spoken out, but this sense inside of me was saying that I can carry that. That everything that I see manifesting in their life is something that is only coming through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that I carry that Holy Spirit inside of me. That I carry the exact same power that they're walking in. One thing I loved about Randy Clark's impartation, I said I wasn't going to share much about them, but apparently I am. you know, one thing he said, don't limit God's impartation. What was it? Don't limit it based on what you see manifesting in my life. And he started to share testimonies about how he's had times of impartation, and a year later somebody comes up to him and said, I got your impartation. I've been praying, and I've seen, what was it, 200 or 20 people? 20 people in one service, deaf, healed. Was it 200 over the past year? Okay, so 200 people, this lady comes up to Randy, she said, I got your impartation. I've seen 200 people over the last year completely healed of deaf ears. And Randy said, you didn't get my impartation. I was like, I've never seen that. You know, there was this genuine excitement inside of him that people are seeing what God's doing in his life, and it's increasing. That we're not limited based on these all-stars of the faith, you know. In parentheses, like that the all-star is God, that the Holy Spirit is the one that we're giving all the glory to. You know, one thing, and this is probably the most exciting part for me. I don't even know what this is. One of the most exciting things for me was we have 5,000 people in one meeting. And we're hearing these incredible testimonies. And these people just praising the Lord. Because, you know, we had times of worship with Steve Swanson, who's hilarious and funny and anointed and great. And this time with Jesus Culture and Dean Martin. What's his name? Martin. What? Martin Smith from Delirious. I knew it was Martin. I knew it wasn't Dean Martin. Yeah, I know. I know who Dean Martin is. My dad would be proud. And you know, these incredible times of worship, and, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I love this. This is incredible. But it doesn't even touch some of the encounters that I've had at Frontline. In worship, in praise, even testimonies that I'm hearing. I'm like, oh, God, you, like, the most exciting thing about VODA is that to know that we're experiencing it here. And you know, you hear some of these people, like, talking, and it's not like I'm walking around town eavesdropping on everyone. But you know, you hear these people talking about how exciting to hear this and this happening. I'm like, all of those things are happening at Frontline. Like, God is absolutely pouring out His Spirit, and we're right in the middle of it. Like, we're right in the middle of encountering this thing that people are coming from all around the world to see and hear about. You know, because, you know, obviously I'm sitting next to Pastor Bill several times, and Pastor Mary Pat's on the other side. So you hear, like, these testimonies, and they start sharing, and you got MP over here going, Lawrence, remember when that same thing happened to us over here in Frontline, or over here in Mozambique? Like, I might as well have just not really had to have listened to them. I could have just kind of sat there and kept hearing from Pastor Mary Pat. But it was, like, she was so excited because every time a testimony would come up, she'd be like, do you remember? And I was grateful for it because, truthfully, I don't remember half of them, and I wasn't there for the other half. So she's like, oh, yeah, I remember that one time when that leg twisted and the Lord healed the eyes and stuff. And it just dawned on me, like, we're right in the middle of this. We are right smack dab in the middle of everything that the Lord is pouring out. That we're experiencing it, that this atmosphere, I don't know about you guys, but anybody who participated in 24/7 prayer, my life was absolutely changed. Absolutely. Like, I became... yeah, like it was almost like there was one point where it was almost like I got to this point during 24/7 prayer where I'm feeling the Lord and encountering Him, and it was almost like I was grieved and sad because every time I began to experience this outpouring of the Father, like, I would get more and more hungry, more and more desperate. And then all of a sudden, I was just like, it's like it's worse than when I started because you just get this small taste of it. And it's like, I've got to have more. There's more out there. There's more that God wants me to experience. And as He continues just to pour that out, I just got more and more hungry and hungry and hungry and hungry. And that's why the last 2 weeks, I've been like this crying, blubbering mess. It's not because I haven't gotten any sleep. You know, that the Lord's desire is to draw us into this place where there's almost this holy desperation for His presence. You know, I heard one thing by Graham Cook say. He said, I never want to be desperate for the Lord. And, you know, at first you think that's kind of weird. But he says, you know, desperation implies that there's a dysfunction aspect between the relationship. If you're desperate for it, that means you're not getting it. And that's true, but I can't think of a better word than to say desperate. You know, that there's this longing, there's this pulling inside for more of that. And as we begin to experience that more and more, like you just begin to realize that it's just built on the inside. That it seems like there's been this transition for me where, you know, I went from like grasping at the heavens to encounter Him to this explosion on the inside where you're feeling that tug no longer like just to reach up and pull it down, but this almost this tug on the inside of me like wanting to come out. And I can't think of any other way to express it, you know, other than there's this like, yeah. There's no way to express that, like what's happening in the sense of like you just kind of feel this draw from the inside of you to come into the presence of the King. And the more and more I meditate on Genesis 2, where I see, you know, the breath, the very breath of life coming inside, that I don't want anything inside of me to hinder that. I don't want anything inside of me that's going to stop the flow. That I want to feel this hunger and this thirst inside of me every day, every moment of my life. And that the Lord's desire is to bring us into that place where that longing for Him and his presence is satisfied every single day. You know, Bill Johnson opened one of his messages. Let's see if I can remember. For the believer, every year is the year of Jubilee. Every day is the day that the Lord has made, and every hour is happy hour. That every moment of our life can be filled with this incredible, radical, crazy peace and joy. Because it's what we're built for. It's what's on the inside of us. So if you guys can, real quick, and then I'll wrap it up. Because I want to have a time of prayer and impartation. Just from some of the things that were imparted to us at VODA. Which means you guys get to participate too. Congratulations. Matthew 26. We're going to throw Carl on the keys because Steve Swanson came over to him, laid hands on him, and called him out by name. So Carl's going to impart through the keyboard. Maybe Darlene too, we'll see. So in Matthew 26, starting in verse 36, it's the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.' And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done.' Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand.'" And then continuing in verse 47, it says, "While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him.' Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Rabbi,' and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, 'Friend, do what you have come for.' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached out and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen this way? At that time Jesus said to the crowds, 'Have you come out with the sword and clubs to arrest me as you would against your robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching and you did not seize me. But all has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets.' Then all the disciples left him and fled." I'll just, real quick, you see this torment in Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, where three times, I mean, there's not many accounts where we see God or Christ going before the Father three times for the same thing. But you could see there's this anguish, there's this torment in his heart. Because what it was like Jesus understood what was happening. He was about to be separated from the Father. That he was about to take on all these sins and be separated. So you see this anguish, and I mean, it says right in scriptures that he was grieved. He was grieved because he realized he was about to lose something, that close connection that he's always had with the Father. And one thing, I think I heard two, maybe three people talk about encounters that they've had with the Lord, that they're so strong and so powerful that they literally, like, they were crying out for it to stop because they felt like they were going to die. It was that intense. That the glory of God is so powerful and so intense that it just overwhelms you completely. And you see here in the Garden of Gethsemane where Christ is just, he's literally grieved and tormented at the thought of being separated from God. But and this account doesn't necessarily illustrate it, but right there where the disciple cuts off the sword, Christ immediately responds and actually heals it. That he brings healing to the man. And the thing I love about that is that Christ, there's no point in his walk where he's caught up with that grieving sensation. That even though he understood what was happening and he was grieved, he still demonstrated mercy. That there are times in our lives where we feel grieved and overwhelmed by our circumstances, but God's calling us to continue to respond in grace and mercy. You know, where Christ here, he understood what was happening and he was tormented. And I mean, some of you guys, just think about your life right now, what it would be like if you did not have the Father. If you did not have that love of God that's changed many of your lives. And what position you would be in knowing. Sometimes, let me see if I can word this correctly. Who here likes Christmas? Have you guys ever experienced, maybe when you were younger, maybe last year, I don't know, where sometimes almost the anticipation of Christmas is even better than the experience of it? Okay. So like the night before, I mean, I'll say this for myself, you know, when I was, you know, 28. Like, you know, like you're going to bed, you're excited, you don't know what you're going to get, you've been building up to it, you've been eating all of the gingerbread cookies and all that stuff, and, you know, you're not even thinking about the fact that you got to drop 20 pounds after the holidays or anything like that. You're just totally caught up in the moment and enjoying it. And then you get to Christmas, you have fun, you get through it, and it's just like there was this building up for like a month of how excited I was. And by the end of it, it's like, that went by so fast. But like sometimes like your emotions are even more heightened at the anticipation of it. Can you imagine what Christ had to be going through at the Garden of Gethsemane? Like understanding what was about to happen, anticipating. Like that's the worst feeling in the world. Like you know what's going to happen and you're anticipating it. Like you know. I mean, like, he literally went before God three times to petition him. Like think about it. It's obviously it's the opposite of the joy and excitement of Christmas. But it's the same anticipation that when you're anticipating something that you know is going to happen, there's just this buildup inside of you because you know what's going to happen. And I believe this is not, I will clarify, this is not theology. Well, yeah, it is. Never mind. Okay, so you have Christ who's anguished, who's grieved at the anticipation. And I truly believe that God, and because we see it, I think it's in Ephesians where Christ says, for the joy set before him, that you have Christ in this anguishing moment realizing he's about to be separated from God, but you have God with the joy set before him, the fact that not only is Christ going to be restored when he resurrects, but he realizes that he's now restoring every relationship that he could ever want with every one of his children that he loves. I heard one of the best messages by Larry Randolph on adoption. He talked about the Greek history of it. Like, and I can't go into it because but basically he was talking about how Christ, he was forsaken by God so that when we were adopted by him, that we inherited everything that you could get as a natural son and daughter. And it's irrevocable. You know, that I'll end on this, that what Larry was talking about, he says that in Greek culture, what you can do is you can actually disown your biological child and you can adopt somebody else that's a better fit for you. And at the point that you adopt that person, that person that you adopt, everything that you give them is irrevocable. It can't be, like, that is their inheritance. So based on that, that the people that you adopt in Greek culture, those are the people that get everything that is there by the adoption is their inheritance. Does that make sense? So when God inherited us, when he adopted us, everything that we get as his heirs is irrevocable. That it can't be stolen, it can't be lost. That as people who are carry that inside of us, we can release that joy and that peace into them and change their lives. And the Lord's wanting to bring us to a place where now we're carrying that in such a way that's so sensitive that it continues to rise up inside of us, but it also continues to be released through us into the people all around us. So I'm going to have Carl come up, if Cynthia and Darlene as well. I just want to have a time. Let's see, how do we want to do this? Let's do it this way. During the time of impartation, Randy Clark, he sent the whole team, anybody that's connected with Global Awakening as far as been overseas with them, an intern or anything, he had them go out and lay hands. So at some point, everybody, all 4,500, 5,000 people that were there, were imparted to by the laying on of hands. For me personally, the most significant time of impartation was when he was praying out corporately over every person. I just felt this thing hit me like this weight and God's presence, and it was thick. And the other times of impartation where other people came by and laid hands on me was great. But just that corporate release was absolutely mind-boggling, life-changing. So I'm going to have everybody stand up. And I believe that the Lord wants to, and I can guarantee you we'll get more of this when Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat come back. But the Lord's desire is to release an impartation of everything that he is showing and everything that he's demonstrating. Yeah. So I'm going to do a time of corporate prayer, but why don't we just have you guys, after I do the corporate time, we're going to have you guys come up and just kind of release, and maybe if there's a prophetic word or something that you guys want to release as well, either corporately or individually. But to know that what you were made for is something that changes lives. It changes your life, and it's in there to change people's lives around you. To be so filled with that, the presence of God, that you become an atmosphere changer. And that he wants you to be able to release that in your family's lives, in your coworkers, and the people you go to school with, and your friends. That it's built inside of you. It's a part of who you are. It is a part of your identity. It is your whole identity. The breath of God that lives inside of you.
Just more specifically and directly, earlier when Lawrence was sharing about anger, that's one of the things that really fights against or assaults the DNA that we were created for to carry. And we haven't even talked about this, but during one of the sessions, I believe it was when Randy Clark was praying about something not even related to that, but I had an experience with the Lord. Randy would just said, just cry out for whatever you want, and Lord, I just want more of you, more of you. And but he actually took me through a process of I believe further freedom and deliverance in the area of anger. He just highlighted that and started quickly, like a flashes of pictures and such, of how anger has been something in my family line on both sides, and the times that I have stepped into it. Anyway, so when Lawrence was sharing that, I just believe that the Lord wants to do something here along those lines, that there, whether it's generational and we've participated in it knowingly or unknowingly, that the... Holy. That assault, that anger or that bitterness, you know, that whether it's deep or current or whether, you know, it's just, I don't know what happens, I'm perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden and I'm in a tizzy and angry and, you know, not being pretty, that the Lord, I just believe that today He also has that He wants to release and break off those generational strongholds, those agreements that we've stepped into. He just wants to release forgiveness and freedom, so that that DNA from heaven, that breath of God, can freely flow. So, you know, along with everything else that Lawrence will be praying about and through, you know, if that's you, or if you've questioned that, or you struggled with that, or whatever, I just encourage you to, again, that this is the moment and this is the hour to take that before the Lord, and just by receiving that as a child, receiving that gift that He has of inner peace, of that inner healing, of that those bouts of rage and anger. Oh, holy Lord, how He just wants to release that. He wants to break that off as we yield to His Spirit. And I just believe that the Lord wants to do some of that this afternoon. And we know it's late. We know it's 1:30. But we can't help but step into what we believe the Lord is saying. So if you need to leave, you're officially dismissed. God bless you. Oh, but if this is speaking to your heart in any way, shape, or form, I encourage you, to just step into it. That the breath of God, that DNA from heaven, oh, that He's just breathing down on us. Oh, that we can be those atmosphere changers, that we can carry that grace and that mercy that Lawrence talked about, this has been talking about. Oh.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to? I'm just going to release a corporate prayer right now, but I'm going to invite you guys to come up. And it's not about us. It's not about, you know, we're special, we were up there. There was just a significant time of impartation that I believe the Lord is releasing into the entire body, and we want to be obedient to step into that, to be able to release that. So I'm going to pray corporately, but I'm going to encourage you guys just to come up, and we'll pray over you, just an extra blessing. But if you, I understand it's late. If you need to go, I understand completely. But so, Father, right now, Lord, you're such a good Father. And Lord, I know you desire to release blessing. You desire to release power right now, Father. So, Lord, I just thank you for every willing heart right now that just with arms lifted high up to heaven, we just receive every blessing that you have, Father God. Everything that you've released in the Spirit, Father God. Every bit of impartation that has been poured out over the last several days, over the last weeks, Father God, that it would just begin to rain in this place. That the dew of heaven would begin to fall in this place, Father God. That people would begin to feel the fire of your presence. That they would feel the weight of your glory begin to weigh in their hands, Father God. That they would feel tangibly and in the natural, Father God, what you're releasing in the Spirit. So Holy Spirit, just come, fall upon us now. Release, Father God, the plans of heaven. Release, Lord God, the destiny of what you're doing right now, Father. That you're drawing people into a place of intimacy. You're drawing them into a place, Father, where they're comfortable, where they're safe, and they can receive from the Father. So I thank you, Lord, that every word from heaven that was released in from the Spirit, Lord God, would be imparted into our hearts. Every one of us, Father, even the ones that were there, if there was something that we missed, Lord, that you would just instill that in our hearts right now, Father. And that would become a burning passion inside of us, Father, for more of your presence, for a deeper hunger, a longing for you, Lord. I thank you that you release those blessings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm just going to encourage you guys to come up. If you need ministry, if there's something in your heart, feel free to share that. We're just going to continue to pray for you guys so that you can continue to receive that. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.